Texas Tech, who believed in himself. None of you all did. And was out there yesterday when necessary and won you that football game. So
why would we believe in him? We've seen what he looked like the first, 5 weeks of the season.
I'm just telling you, the man, he feels like he got a little redemption.
I can't believe that is what's pissing you off.
Always
on the player's side with whatever they say. Oh, that doesn't bother me.
He's on the player's side if that player is an A. I agree with him. I'm saying, like, who is Jacoby Brissett to be up there after what he showed you the first 5 weeks of the season to be up there going, nobody believed in me. Nobody believed in you because you weren't able to throw the football to wide open receivers.
And I would add, Greg, that his real issue isn't the media. Wasn't the big story that there was going to be a mutiny if they continued playing Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah.
That the players were angry that their best player wasn't playing at the most important position?
Right.
So why is he mad at us?
Right.
The people in his own locker room didn't
think he could get the opportunity to prove that he could be the starter of this team and be good enough to put this team on his shoulders? Did he not get the opportunity to do?
No, he
did. All right. So when
more opportunity than most guys would
get. Yeah, and that's what I get, you know, kind of ticked off about is like, you got plenty of opportunity. The fact that they kept going with you shows like they were even willing to say, all right, we'll even give you more of a chance, because some coaches after week one or week two would have been like, you're out of here.
Yeah, I think that we are just talking about history instead of just talking about what happened yesterday. And what happened yesterday was that Jacoby Brissett, nobody believed in him. He went out there and he didn't give the game away. So he should be proud of himself. That's how I feel.
No, but what happened yesterday is exactly what Jacoby Brissett is. Come in, don't make many mistakes, put the team in a position to win the football game, walk away with a win, and then guess what? Next week, it goes back to the starting quarterback, and then we might not see you for another 5-6 week or, you know, another 2 years. But that's what he is. He's a backup quarterback who's supposed to do exactly what he did.
We are not arguing about that, though. We are not on opposite sides when saying that they should go back to Drake May. I'm not sitting here saying that Jacoby Brissett should be the starter of the New England Patriots.
No.
I'm just saying that he didn't give away that game yesterday. He should be proud of himself. I didn't take his remarks after the game yesterday in the grand scheme of things as him being an a-hole.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's exciting. It's a win for the football team. I think we talked about this earlier this morning with a caller who was imploring the region to hit the brakes a little bit and to stop celebrating a win over the lowly Jets.
Oh, man. We don't get many of these anymore. You better enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great yesterday. I was shocked. I thought if I had an opportunity to bet everything I had that they would not get that last yard to win that game, I would have. The second they called that back, it was Jalen Polk all over again.
Yeah.
I said, up, they're screwed. Two straight home losses in games where you get the go-ahead score only to see it reviewed and turned down. And to get in that end zone to win that game, I mean, it was awesome.
And you got Tennessee coming up this week. The next three out of your next four opponents all have losing records. So you could potentially, you know, not make the playoffs, but turn your season around where the vibe is better because you're winning football games.
But that's going to frustrate you when it comes to the draft. That's going to
doesn't bother. But everybody else, it doesn't bother, right? Everybody, we shouldn't care about the draft, right?
Yeah.
Well, right, we don't care about the drafts.
Unless you're a fan of tanking in professional sports.
Well, not tanking, unless you're a fan of draft order, where you fall. But if you're not a fan of that, then regardless if you're number one or number eight, what's the difference? That's what everybody tells me.
Yeah, I think now that you have the quarterback, I am out on Elliott Wolf entirely when it comes to the ability to build an offense. This receiving core is an affront to the position. I don't care who made what pick, or if it was Bill or Robert or Elliott. Like, this receiving core is the worst in the NFL, and it's by a wide margin. Like, the fact that you had Jacoby Brissett, not exactly, you know, Dan Marino back there, finding guys' hands and chests and the ball hitting the ground over and over again. I just don't know how you have a roster this bad at that
position. It's everybody who's catching passes, with the exception of Hunter Henry, really.
Right.
I mean, it's everybody in that room.
Aren't you shocked when they hold on to it? You're like, oh, my God, he caught it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the part of it is now it's like you don't even have – like we're sitting here talking about Drake May and what his potential could be, and we're watching him, we're seeing him develop. And when you look at the receiving core, which is a lot of you know, majority young guys, there's nothing there that you can go, oh, okay, that looks – you know, like maybe this could be a guy that now we're not going to build around, but he could be an asset to the team. There is not one asset in that wide receiver room that you look at and you go, okay, maybe they can help out next year. So when you're coming into the offseason, you are basically starting from the bottom, right? What are you doing? Are you drafting a wide receiver again high? Are you trying to go out there and, you know, figure out if you can trade for potentially a receiver who might be disgruntled or a free agent and somebody like T. Higgins if he doesn't get franchised? It's just maddening that position.
All right. Well, Jerod Mayo will join us soon. I think our best bet is probably to get to trending so we have plenty of time to talk to the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Cool.
Heads up on tomorrow. Tie Tuesday, that means Ty Law will join us at 9 tomorrow. And at 9:20 tomorrow, I promised you with regard to a couple of controversial ballot questions here in the Commonwealth on Election Day next Tuesday, I promised you a little lively debate on a couple of them. Tomorrow, we will talk question four with actress, activist Eliza Dushku. Maybe I should call her actress shroom user Eliza Dushku. She's the one who's responsible for this question in Massachusetts. So should be of interest tomorrow morning. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending right now?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Patriots take down the Jets 25-22 to get their second win of the season, this time in front of a home crowd. Drake May went out after completing three of six passes for 23 yards and rushing for 46 and a touchdown. He's in concussion protocol on a helmet-to-helmet that was not called. Jerod Mayo talked about seeing Drake at halftime. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I walked in at halftime and saw him. And, you know, the competitor that he is, obviously he wanted to go back out there and play. But there's a protocol that he has to go through. And again, can't wait to get him back.
We'll ask Jerod how Drake is feeling after the game and how he is feeling this morning when he joins us in just a little bit. Monday Night Football, we'll see the Giants taking on the Steelers kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. The Celtics got a win on Saturday over the Pistons. They're back home tonight to take on the Bucks. 7:30 tip if you see Jermaine Wiggin in the building. Go give him a hug. You're not really a hugger.
I'm cool with
hug
it.
And an S.
A hug's cool.
Give him a hug and an S for his last name.
That's cool with it. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
I thought we were going to go cruise right past it. And, you know.
It's all good. It's all good.
Jermaine Wiggin. I liked it.
Yeah. Wiggin. Believe me.
Sorry.
I've been called a lot worse.
You know I know your last name. The Bruins beat the Maple Leafs in overtime on Saturday. They have the Flyers at home tomorrow night. And the Dodgers are up 2 games on the Yankees in the World Series. The game returns to the Bronx tonight. First pitch at 8:08. Walker Buehler is set to take the mound for the Dodgers, taking on Clark Schmidt. Shohei Ohtani also expected to make his return after suffering a shoulder injury on Saturday.
Courtney, it's all right because I was doing emails with Curtis for an event that I was trying to do, but unfortunately I wasn't able to make it, but we'll do something later on with his parents. And I didn't realize I kept getting emails from Christopher Curtis, and I thought the whole time that was his dad.
That's John.
I know, but I forgot what his first name was because we never call him Christopher. We always call him.
I mean, you've worked with the man for.
I know, but we never.
Considerable amount of years.
He's Madonna or Cher, where we don't
right.
know what
Ronaldo.
The, okay. We don't know what the last name is,
right.
or we don't know what the yeah. first name was. I was okay. like,
so was his right. was his vocabulary different? Like thinking that he was talking to your
very
dad?
Polite,
very yeah. different.
No, yeah, I was just like, I was like, all right.
We got to roll here.
All right, well, looking for a fast, convenient family meal that everyone will love? You've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new original crispy chicken tender family meal deal for just $39.99. Each meal serves up to 5 people and comes with a side to share only at the Nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Christopher here, 40 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, afternoon high of 51.
The head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, brought to you on a Mayo Monday by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, by Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hello, Coach.
Hey.
You said last week on this show that a win would fix everything. So is everything fixed?
Everything's not fixed. What I would say is a lot of the things that were happening over the last few weeks have been symptoms of losing. And we, you have to win one game before you can start to stack them together. So that's what I meant.
So symptoms of losing, meaning just everybody is
Everyone has solutions. You know? Yeah. And it's not just in the building. It's outside. I can't even go to a grocery store without, well, maybe you should change the time of practice. my mom calls me the solutions. People in the building. Like, everyone has a solution. And
what is your mom recommending?
No, my mom recommends just play better. That's her thing. just play, just coach better and play better.
And coach better and play better. Yeah. Well, that happened yesterday, and I think, you know, speaking of noise, a lot of noise about you calling this football team soft and then saying they played soft, but seems like that you may have known exactly what you were doing, and that these guys responded well to that.
You know, the guys went out there and played well. I tried to walk it back last week as far as calling them soft. We played soft the last two games, and that's what I meant. And I would say those guys answered the challenge. I don't think we have soft guys in the locker room. That's just the way we played the last 2 weeks, and I thought they came out and played well yesterday.
Gerard, I know that some of the guys, especially the wide receiver group, and we're all like that, guys who want the football, we're talking about being more productive, having more opportunities. It seems like they got some chances yesterday and still had some drops. What are some of the issues with maybe the drops that some of these guys have to focus on a little bit better?
The issue is the drops, huh? You're exactly right. You know, those guys, they got open, and you know, good receivers, they get open, they catch the ball, and if they're really good, they run with it afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you know, we had a bunch of drops yesterday, but those are things that we can correct and look forward to those guys taking the next step.
But what when it comes to correcting that, is that just reps in practice? Is it a mental thing with some of these guys? It seems like some, you know, you brought this up a couple weeks ago with us, where it's okay to talk and demand the football, but then you got to deliver it. It seems
which
like
I just still feel that way.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people, well, get on the jugs machines and do all this and do all that at the same time. You don't have a 250-pound linebacker running at you at the same time.
Yeah.
And so some of those drops were across the middle. We had a couple on the outside, and it comes down to concentration.
When it comes to going into halftime yesterday, it seemed like you guys were just trying to run the clock down.
That's exactly what we were trying to do. Okay. You know, anytime you lose your starting quarterback and the game plan revolves around a starting your quarterback and there's a major shift, you know, we run the ball. If we pop that run, then we'll get into our two-minute or no-huddle stuff. But at the same time, it was an opportunity for us as a team in all three phases to hit the reset button, go back, re-energize, make our corrections, and come out and play.
What was your message in the locker room at halftime after doing so?
Yeah, the messaging was the same thing I said before the game, you know, 30 minutes before those guys got dressed. And it's the next man up mentality. Before the game, we found out that one of our best players wasn't able to go in Duggar. And I challenged the rest of the guys, like, look, it's next man up. And it stinks to find out, you know, that close to the game, but it happened. And the same thing in the game when your starting quarterback, who you expect to go out there and play four quarters, more if need be, goes down, it's the next man up mentality. And told those guys at halftime, this is an opportunity for us to go out there and support Jacoby, and that's by playing complimentary football. And I think we did that at times.
Gerard, I thought last week was a massive week for you. Our perspective outside the building, but the noise was at a fever pitch about walking back comments, the locker room, these players.
When has walking back comments ever been like a big deal? For me, though, like, situations change. And I would always say I always reserve the right to change my mind, no matter what we're talking about. Who's starting, who's not starting. Like, I always reserve that right. And, you know, we talk about transparency, which I've tried to be with all of you guys. And to me, transparency is what I want you to see. I'm not going to say everything that is under the curtain, no, but at the same time, the relationship with the media, I think, is important. So even in saying that, you say it's a fever pitch. For me, It doesn't matter. As long as the fam straight, I'm straight. This isn't really adversity for me.
I think it's a perspective thing, and I'm glad to hear you say that the way you said it, because I think some people perceive it to be lack of experience or somebody who's new in a job. Yeah. I think is where that.
I am new on a job, and what I will say is, just like I expect from our team to get better each and every week, I expect me as a head coach to get better every single week, and I demand that from our assistant coaches as well. Like, you guys got to get better every single week. It doesn't matter who the players are out on the field. We expect to go out there and win and play winning football.
So, are you also demanding from your assistants a new touchdown celebration every week? is there a name for that?
Look, I'm just happy we're scoring touchdowns if they are celebrating.
Was that part of the plan?
No. Honestly, when Kraft released the shoes, AVP was joking around like the old kid in play, like tapping. We're just out there having fun, man. Look, at the end of the day, winning is fun, and it's fun winning, and that's kind of our mindset.
Just on the, I want you. Totally answered that properly, and Greg's waiting one day for me to actually do my job well enough to celebrate. But a part of that huge noise outside the building was led by the guy you replaced. And I know you don't want to get into personal stuff, but is it surprising on any level for you that a guy you played for, took you at 8 overall, worked on his staff for years, is so quick to criticize and sort of knock you when you're down?
Well, I was 10 overall, so you got to do some research. Top 10. Still
they traded back from 8 to 10. That's
no,
right.
They didn't trade back from 8 to 10. They traded back from 7 to 10.
Oh, my bad.
All right, there we go. I learned a lot from Coach, and, I learned a lot on the field, off the field, all those things. And in saying that, I have to do what I believe in, and that's what it comes down to.
Gerard, isn't the most important thing, and I think for us on the outside, we don't really know what's being said on the inside, and
which
I think
is great.
Yeah. And but
then we have a problem,
right? Well, but a lot of the players, they were saying, "Well, this is the message that Gerard was giving us before he got to the media." And isn't that the most important thing? At least it was for me. Is that what the players are getting before the media gets? You're out there and you're giving your post game interviews, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm very open with the players. I'm very transparent. And you would know this, mm-hmm. being a player. Like, you have so many people around you that will lie.
Oh yeah,
and they'll tell you it's not your fault. Well, this should have happened, that should have happened, and I feel like my job is to tell you the truth. And I live in truth, and I have no reason to lie. My mom always used to joke around, is it worth going to hell over? I'm like, no, mom, no. And so I try to be very truthful. And again, like, no matter what the noise is outside, I'm very upfront with our players, and I think they appreciate that.
I know you've already said to media this morning that Drake is in concussion protocol. When he came off the field yesterday, what was he feeling? What went into him having to get checked out? And then I know you've said that during halftime, he said to you that he felt like he could go back out there.
Yeah, it was it was called down from the league, and they wanted to do further evaluation. When I went in there at halftime, like, he wanted to go back out there, but obviously he didn't pass the test, and not going to get too far into that, but at the same time, he went out there and threw a couple good balls after put him in the protocol.
Let me get quick to the Hellman's Mayo question of the week. You can purchase Hellman's mayonnaise at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. On that note, on Drake May, Boomer Esiason was on with us earlier this morning talking about young quarterbacks who want to run the ball and don't always take care of themselves. Is that something that you want to keep reminding Drake May?
This goes back to, like, darn if you do, darn if you don't, and, well, we should put him in the first week, or we should put him in here. And it's like, at a certain time, like, we're always going to do what's best for the football team. And look, the quarterback is the most important position on the field. I mean, however you feel about that, the quarterback's the most important position on the field, and he has to protect himself a little better.
You're sitting right next to a darned if you don't guy who thinks your record would be 4-4 if you had started Drake May.
Hey, and the thing about it, that's fine for him to have that opinion. Like, everyone can have that opinion. We also had a guy go out there and get hit 50 times in 4 games or whatever it is. So it's fine.
Yeah. You told the CBS broadcast crew that Drake May had a lot to be thankful for, not just in how Jacoby Brissett handles himself and learning, but that Jacoby Brissett took a beating in those first games that allowed Drake May to come in healthy. What did you think of Jacoby Brissett's comments after the game, where he seemed to take some of the slights personally from the media and the fans as he went in and won that game in the second half?
He's a competitor, and I think, you know, if you do listen to that stuff, you might as well make it a chip on your shoulder so you can go out there and play hard.
Well, give us a little insight, because we hear from him, but he's very quiet, and Christian Gonzalez, as far as what we hear from him, you know, when he comes on this station. Give us an insight to what he's like as a player and as a person, because he looks like he has the potential to get into an era of being one of the best corners in National Football League. What makes him so special? Like, it's been week after week with this guy going against some great players.
Yeah, I would say the good corners that I've played with, where we're talking about Tlaib, or, well, maybe not Tlaib, but Revis and, you know, Gilmore, some of these guys, they're quiet off the field, but once they cross the white lines, it's all business. Mm-hmm. It's all being a competitor. And that's Gonzo. Like, I mean, if you can sit here and try to get whatever you want out of him as far as, like, talking. But when he crosses the white lines, he's a very good player.
Momentum-wise, how big was the punt return yesterday?
It was huge. And that goes back to the complimentary football where, you know, three and out, punt return. And we've been saying it for a while now. He's almost popped a few this season, but, you know, good punt return that led to a touchdown. That's what we're trying to do.
Does it feel like a respect thing when you hear the outside noise? I know that you try to block it out, but nobody had picked you guys to win in this one. Then Drake goes down, and I think people expected the Jets for you guys to just roll over and die. Like, does the team talk about that? Do you feel like the guys use that to their advantage to go out there and prove people wrong?
We use the pressure just to get closer as a unit. And once again, you know, it takes on the team takes on the personality of the head coach and the quarterback. And for me, I'm anchored in something that's a lot different than people agreeing or disagreeing with what I do and what I say. So I'm always going to do what's best for the Patriot organization. And I thank the Kraft family for allowing Elliot and myself to run this organization.
You surprised by where Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are right now?
I can't. You know, honestly, I don't get into the other teams. I'm just worried about us. Well, I shouldn't say worried about us, but my only concern is the Patriots.
Well, does being used to being in the media, does it help you with being able to deal with some of the criticism where people go, oh, he doesn't have experience, or which, I don't, you know, you've been coaching in the NFL for 8 years, so I don't really understand what that is. But does being in the media help with you not letting that frustrate you?
You know, I learned very early in my career at Tennessee. I learned, even here in the NFL, don't Google yourself. Don't type your name into Twitter.
Words to live by.
Hey, I learned that as a player, and I was rookie of the year. And after my rookie year, I was like, you know, everyone around me, I guess, is fickle for the most part, except for my inner circle. So, and once again, like, it's the fan. Look, they pay for those tickets, and they expect to see a team that goes out there and performs well and wins. I understand that. I understand you guys have to, you know, sell advertisements. I understand all that stuff. And so, for me, winning cures all, and I would say, you know, building a sustainable winning organization for the future is also top of mind.
And just, you know, you talk about it all the time, being transparent, and that's what I love about getting the opportunity to have you address all this stuff. I know you essentially said this week you didn't have an issue with guys and how they're conducting themselves when they're not on the field, visiting cities.
Can I just go back to that? Like, guys being out in London, simply not true.
And so
those stories continue to come out where it's just not true.
Not true.
Yeah. So I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I mean, everyone has their sources, again, working in the media. I understand how that works, but it's simply not true.
So nobody missed curfew in London.
We did not have people out in London. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going back to London. I don't want to go back to London. Is this me going back on what I just said? I'm not walking it back. Yeah. What I'm saying is
Nashville, very fun city. Maybe put some restrictions in place down there.
Listen,
it's a fun city.
Listen, the guys in the locker room, they do what we need to do to go out there and perform. And look, we'll win or whatever happens. But at the same time, these guys are professionals and they've acted that way.
I know you can't be specific, but Drake May, you think we won't see him for a while, or what's?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Yeah. Okay.
Well, the internet. Honest.
Yeah, that's honest.
Yeah, that is honest. The internet got me on alcohol prices when at stadium. So believe me, I don't believe anything I see on the internet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely.
Yes, he does.
You're on the internet right now.
So. What are you talking about, Wayne?
This is cap.
Google it.
Yeah, but you just saw Instagram too. I saw you scrolling Instagram. Headlines on Instagram, stealing stories. Come on, man. Do your own work.
Wiki's Wikipedia says he was coach of the year at Brockton.
Coach of the year. I don't believe anything on the internet.
No. Speaking of coaching, just before you go, a little back and forth between you and Coach Wiggins. So I want to. It was off air, but I want to ask you: how would you have defended on that Jaden Daniels Hail Mary?
Look, I mean, first of all, we said
your defensive, we said, your brilliant we said, defensive
we said,
line.
We said a Hail Mary is a 50-50 ball, and it's not. And
yeah, that's what Wiggy said: 50-50 ball.
Right. You know, we can say whatever we want to. It comes down to execution. Whether you want to rush it or you want to cover, it comes down to execution, and you can't have a free guy behind everyone else with nobody boxing them out.
What about other guys like taunting the opposing fans? Is that good while the play is going
on?
Yeah,
look, if you're going to do that, you better go out there and make a play. Again, going back to how I feel. Look, you can talk all the noise you want to, but you better back it up. You were that guy at the basketball court, like wristband.
Oh, 100%. I never got in. If you're up by 40, they put me in. All right, Coach Mayo, great to see you. Great job. Great win.
No, I appreciate it.
All right, and we'll talk to you again next week. Good. All right, our conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. We will be back from Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Patriots with a win over the Jets, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, including with Jones and Keefe coming up in just about 20 minutes or so at 10. Any nuggets that you want to discuss from Gerard Mayo a little bit ago here?
He's good at what he does, man. I give him that.
He's good at it?
He's good.
Yeah, and I would say Tom Curran's report remains accurate that a player missed curfew.
You did ask him specifically about curfew, and then he pivoted to nobody was out.
Right. Yes.
So was that like some sort of a...
Maybe they did Twister in one room.
Maybe it was... Maybe they rented out the game room at the hotel?
Or, I don't know.
Some sort of a pool cabana, or
I haven't had a drink
stuck in the elevator.
I haven't had a drink in a while. Not something I like to brag about, but it's true. But when I did, the lobby booze was a little stiffer.
What do you mean? Like, if you got a drink in the lobby,
bars, they pour a heavy one.
Okay, did not notice that.
I don't know if that's true or not anymore. But it was back in the day. So maybe somebody got overserved.
Yeah,
you know, I have no idea, but certainly something was amiss in London.
Yeah,
and they coalesced here. Wiggy's like, who's dropping the dimes? To me, it's KJ Osborne. I mean, the guy's been basically wanting to get out of here since he arrived.
Yeah, but is he dropping a dime on his teammates? Because it was allegedly Javon Baker, right? That was the one. So KJ Osborne is just going, randomly just throwing Javon Baker under the bus. Or,
well, he wants out of here.
But you don't throw your teammates under the bus even if you want out of there, because you know that's just something you don't do. You gripe about what you have an issue with.
Maybe missing curfew in England was a time change thing.
Right.
Good point.
Maybe they thought it was 6 hours, not five.
I don't know, but just based off of being a former player, when somebody says they're not out but they tend to be late for curfew, that then tells me that some player was in somebody else's room where they shouldn't have been. And generally, when you have a trip where you have wives and girlfriends that can come, you might have been and said...
Oh, in the ladies' room. In your own ladies' room.
I thought you were going down Malcolm Butler Road.
Yeah,
there.
No. Okay. You might have just happened to been...
Oh, okay.
You might have checked in.
I'm okay with that.
11 o'clock curfew. Hey, I'm in here, coach. Coach leaves, does his thing. Let me sneak out and head up to the next floor so I can spend the night with my lady.
Yeah.
And then...
M'lady, if you're in England, that's how you say it.
M'lady, whatever it is.
Or their kids wanted to go say goodnight to the kids.
Right. Or they wanted to see Big Ben at night.
Yeah. But that is when you say... It's not necessarily like he was out partying on the town. Maybe he just happened to be in the room.
People have taken that, though, and run with it, that guys were out partying.
And I think that's what Mayo was saying. Like,
if there was an honest explanation, we never find out about it.
No, but they're not going to say, okay.
If he has it handled, he has it handled.
Right. It's over, and they won the game. But, I mean, so it's essential for this coaching staff and new regime to establish trust and that they have control. and what those reports did in the aftermath of the game that coincided with the walking back of the soft comments, it gave the appearance of a lack of control, that the organization was rudderless.
Yeah.
And I think now you win that game, and Mayo's feeling a little bit better. The defense certainly played for him. They got that win, and he's trying to move away from it.
Right. Yeah. Any other nuggets? I mean,
I like everything he says. Like, you and I were talking off air about how he said, I'm going to walk comments back. Like, I reserve the right to change my mind about something.
I mean, people are not going to like that.
Right.
And that's, but he does own it, and that's what he's, that's what he's going to do. So,
and he also said he's a first-year head coach.
Yes.
So
what did you? I mean,
well, because when people are like, "Oh, his lack of experience."
Well, yeah, he's learning. He's learning on the
job. Did you take that as a personal shot when he mocked first-year coaches?
No. I didn't. I never take anything he says personally. Okay. But I think he's saying like, "Is I'm learning as I go." But I think if most coaches, first-year coaches, do the same thing. You know, Bill Belichick did the same thing back in 2000 as a first-year head coach, you know, where you learn some things. And granted, he had coached in Cleveland, but if you look at Mike McDaniels, if you look at we love him in Detroit,
Dan Campbell,
there's going to be things that you learn, and maybe you go, okay, my second year I'll do different.
I would love for the Lions to get to the Super Bowl just because of Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I love that. How
entertaining of a, which is a absolute morass of over interviews, would he be in the lead up to the Super Bowl?
It would be great. And I also love the like revitalization of Detroit and how it was like dead and back, and how that team is sort of embodies that. In those playoff games, they were saying it was like the toughest ticket in the history of American sports.
You know, great M&M's city. From there?
I didn't.
Yeah, M&M's from there.
Just in a hip hop game right now, Detroit's big.
Bomb Spaghetti, great spot.
Yep. Big in the hip hop game right now. You got Skillet Baby. You got T Grizzly, who's from out of Detroit.
Is that the guy who's under arrest with the wiretap, or is that a different guy?
No, that's Little Dirk. He's from Chicago.
Little Dirk is often misconstrued.
How do we feel about Little Dirk?
Little Dirk, man. Is his boy snitching on him.
Okay.
Yeah. Did he used to play for Mark Cuban?
No. But Detroit's Detroit is a hot city, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. Detroit is hot.
And that would be a cool story, too. Aiden Hutchinson, who got his leg snapped in half.
Yep.
They say.
Could be ready.
Could be ready for the Super Bowl. What a comeback that would be.
I mean, we're halfway through the season after tonight's over. I mean, can you say half? I guess you have to get
just under half.
Half a game in on week 9. You want to adjust any of your Super Bowl predictions? You still think the Chiefs are?
I don't remember what I said, but I would say Chiefs Lions. I'm rooting for it. I would love for Tom Brady to be calling Patrick Mahomes' pursuit for something he never did, a three-peat. Against a team in a city in Detroit that where he played his college ball, which is, I think, the best story in football.
I can't trust Baltimore for...
Ooh, Shine, cover your ears.
No. It's in part of Lamar.
We have a convert. Go ahead.
It's part Lamar. He has to prove it.
Never said one thing. I've asked you a million times to say one thing negative about Lamar Jackson. Go ahead.
But he has to prove it.
I'm here for it.
He has to prove that he can, you know, he can't just be a regular season player. He has to prove it. But I'm not sold on, what is it, John or Jim, whatever Harbaugh
John.
Is in Baltimore. I'm not 100% sold that he is the guy. I'm leaning a little bit, could potentially this be a Josh Allen?
I like it.
Wiggy, that's my pick. I think it's Lions Bills.
Yeah, could it be?
You do?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Was that your pick or did you change that? Do you have a spreadsheet on that?
I do not have his pick, but I would love to add it to the spreadsheet. Yeah.
Go for it.
I mean,
Right now,
Courtney just put that into a 72-leg parlay.
Yes.
I shared my parlay with Sean.
So he has Lions Bills. Well, right now, would you say
this is the Bills' year? Like, I know we say that every year, but the Bills are, if they can't beat the Chiefs now,
right?
I don't think they're ever going to
beat
them.
Well, the division is definitely theirs.
Oh, my God. Worst division in football. The AFC East is bad.
I mean, it's definitely theirs.
Yeah, and they finished second, right? But I was going to ask, is that the one team that you could look at and go, they could beat the Chiefs? The Bills.
Shyam is telling you yes.
I'm not sold on
Shyam
Baltimore.
Shyam also took the Ravens 9 points on Friday. Yeah. So.
Okay, I mean, that was a bad pick on Friday.
Pick the team favored by 9 and they lose outright.
And Shyam, I'm with you. I think Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback. I think it's more about those coaches over there And the way that they call plays, the way that they don't utilize Lamar the right way at times, especially when games get tight, I'm not sold on Harbaugh. That's where I think Lamar's biggest issue is going to be, is the coaches not, like, you're trying last year in the playoffs. You're letting Lamar throw the ball, and you're not really running him. Like, what are you doing? Now you got Derrick Henry. This should even be better for you to have, you know, that whole thunder and lightning backfield to really let Lamar use his legs rather than making him a pocket passer. So I just, like, that's what has me with the Ravens. I don't know about their coaches, but I do like – I like Buffalo, man. Josh Allen, you know, he could be the MVP and –
And the AFC is down. I thought it was going to be awesome, and yeah. I was dead wrong. Look at Burrow and the Bengals. They're relatively cooked. You look at Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars.
And does Houston scare you?
Don't count out your guy, Russell Wilson.
Dangerous in the
Steelers.
Yeah,
but those teams, Greg, like, would those teams really scare you? Like, do the Pittsburgh Steelers scare you? Do the Texans scare you?
I think the Steelers could end up being scary.
I
do.
I would go Texans over Steelers, but neither of them do. Like, right. To me, like, you look at, you know, Harbaugh with the Chargers, not scary. The Broncos, I don't care how many games they win. Bo Nix doesn't scare anybody.
Like, if I'm betting, and, you know, we're the parlay, we love parlays,
yes,
Courtney.
You are the parlay playboy.
Parlay playboy, and then you're the parlay princess.
Yep. Yes.
But if you had to take Kansas City versus Houston, who else did we?
Kansas City, Houston. Kansas City's a touchdown favorite. Kansas City against, not Baltimore. What's the other one?
Who's the other? Oh,
Steelers?
Chargers.
Steelers.
Yeah.
8-point favorite.
The only team.
The parlay princess took, she did two separate parlays and took both of them. That's how she does it.
I like my parlay, I'm telling you.
Go for
broke. Just to be clear.
Did you like it, Shime? Did you take a gander?
I haven't looked at it yet, no. But
I would just say
probably
this.
Probably too big for me.
Courtney, with your parlay, go big or go home.
$750 is a good chunk of change. I know it's not your
to win.
To win,
yeah. What are you wagering on it?
50.
50.
Right. Or what's you could 50 to win 750 or 50 to win 6,000. Like I told you.
But I don't like your picks.
Yeah, but you go big or go home.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wiggy strikes me as the guy that calls you the P word when you say I'm done drinking for the night.
No. But I'm saying if my thing is Curtis, if you're gonna drink, if it's before the night and we're gonna drink,
let's do it right.
Let's go. Hey, let's go all out.
Pre-game it.
Yeah. Let's not have a few drinks and now we're just like, all right, we got a little buzz. What is this doing for us?
Worked well for me, that approach.
Speaking of that, are you coming to the Halloween party Thursday? You and
is it Thursday?
Yeah.
I thought it was Friday.
No, Thursday night.
Okay.
At Moxie.
I have to see.
You love Halloween.
I do. But I got to see if
you have another engagement or something.
I'm not really sure. I don't think so.
You just don't want to come? Huh? I thought you loved Halloween.
No, I do love Halloween. But is it like can I really engage? Go ham at this party. I thought it was on a Friday night.
Well, you can go somewhat ham.
No, just Curtis and I were just talking.
You want to come in late?
No, I want to go.
I'm fine
ham.
If you come in late Friday.
No, it's Halloween. I want to be able to be out all night ripping it up.
You can't call it early on Halloween.
Yeah,
you
I got my costume. I'm all ready to go. For some reason, I thought, why ain't it on a Friday night?
Because it's always on October 31st.
Yeah. Well,
that falls on.
You never know. Leap year.
Every year.
Maybe I'll pop in. Where is it, Moxie's?
Yeah. Moxie's in the Seaport.
This sounds like Wiggy talking about Courtney's wedding.
No, maybe I'll pop in. I'll see if my wife can get a costume. If not, I'll come dolo.
Well, we have tickets left?
Yeah, we do have some tickets left. I dropped it in the Twitch chat, so go get them. $35.
It's
so
presented,
cheap.
Presented by Ghost Tequila, and we look forward to seeing you on Thursday night, and Courtney will be revealing her costume.
Yes,
and speaking of costume
and
reveals.
Santo is a part of the couple's costume.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Okay. Ooh.
Yep.
Yes.
I love it. Is it a ball and chain? we talked about I have just James's doctor outfit if you want on Twitch or you watch him on YouTube. Mitchy has it. So he was he was given checkups left and right at Castle Island. So there's the man.
Oh, there he is.
He's got his scrubs on, Dr. James, Family Medicine. So.
Should have threw a little red dye on his jacket and gave him a nice, then he could have been the killer doctor.
Yeah.
Still time for Thursday. Yeah. Actually, we've got a library Halloween I'm taking him to today. Maybe we'll throw some blood on there.
Same scrubs you used to wear when you told people you were a gynecologist.
OBGYN.
If I remember correctly.
1-800-CURTIS.
That is right.
All right.
Before we go, I do want to just say congratulations to Eamon, who is in the room with us right now. It'll be the last time we see him. He gets married this weekend.
Ooh, Wiggy, than never go to bed angry, what advice would you have for Eamon?
All right.
Always go to bed with an empty tank.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
All right.
Is
on that note.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Good luck. Good luck, Amen Corner.
Amen, my dog. Welcome to the club, brother.
Our longtime vice president of Twitch services. Now he's moved on up in the company. And what's your title now? Vice president of all things content, yes. Digital, video.
Olivia Culpo will be crying herself to sleep all weekend long.
Courtney, ain't that what you do? Ain't that what you're supposed to? That's what my wife tells me. Empty. Always empty his tank at night.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen.
Do you think that when they say, does anybody object, that Olivia Culpo is going to stand up and say, I do at the ceremony?
Yeah, maybe.
Use mine first.
Yeah.
All right. We got to go. We will be back tomorrow morning with Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday at 6. Jones and Keefe next. Thank you for your patronage.
You're listening to The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.